Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this special season, an opportunity to reflect upon who we are, poor, miserable sinners, and our need for a Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Your great love You have sent that Savior, the Word made flesh, the Word who tabernacled in Mary's womb, the Word who placed Himself under Your holy and condemning law, the Word who bled and died as our substitute on Calvary's cross, the Word that overcame sin, death, and the grave, all for us. Heavenly Father, help us today and always to rejoice in Your great love manifested in the person and work of Jesus. It's in His holy and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Of the Father's love begotten, 384.
The Order of Vespers, page 229. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
Chant the words of our introit together, that's printed on your bulletin insert.
Confirmation essays tonight will begin with, I was just looking for one of them. Trevor, why don't you come on down? Trevor Fleck. Could you have sat any farther back? Yes, Noah is, two rows behind you.
Matthew 22:37 is my Bible passage, and it is, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." And this Bible passage teaches me a lot and what we as humans need to work on. All people need to work on being true to the commandments and abiding by them perfectly. But if not perfectly, then we at least need to repent on what we have done wrong, because that is what God has commanded. The law for this Bible passage is that you have to love God with everything, not just your heart or your soul or your mind, but love Him with everything all in one. To me, this sounds like the most common phrase, "Treat me how you would like to be treated." Matthew 22:37 has a similar teaching to the first commandment, which is, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We should fear and love God. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Matthew 22:37 is a very heartfelt and meaningful verse to me. This verse teaches me both law and gospel. The law is very straightforward and not difficult to understand. Some people believe that God is only here to punish us. But I believe that those people don't understand Jesus has died on the cross to save us from death, showing us His love. We need to not just love God, but other people as well. Your heart is to be considered as your emotions and feelings. It also has a meaningful lesson to learn, and I think we all need to learn this lesson. But now that Jesus has died, we get to show our love for Him forever and ever. If you know what love means, you will understand what I'm saying. To love the Lord, you need to be honest with Him, even though He knows everything. You need to be able to be honest with yourself as well. And you need to be able to think pure thoughts, words, and deeds. Your mind is to be considered as your thoughts. And to me, truth is love. And say that a child doesn't turn in homework at school and breaks their parents' heart. And this leads to bigger problems when the child doesn't pass. The parents and child didn't talk about it for a couple of days. When they finally talked about the situation, the parents simply handed the child a card saying, I will never give up on you. To be truthful to yourself would be using the same strategy that God uses for love. To be able to love God, you should devote a section of your time to learn what God has spent His time teaching to our ancestors. Your soul will be like everyday life. Our everyday lives are all about relationships. We have relationships at home, work, school, and church everywhere. But these relationships could be good or bad, and positive or negative. As when God created Adam, He didn't want him to be lonely. Therefore, God is our Creator, and we need Him. So when you hear people say they don't believe in God, in fact, this is not true because we all need Him whether we accept it or not. For example, someone wins a Powerball and gets millions of dollars. Then they go out and they're able to buy almost anything. But the question is, are they really happy? They may not realize that they have emptiness in their life and that cannot be purchased with money. And the emptiness needs to be filled with God's love. Luther and Luther's Small Catechism relates this to the First Commandment. What does God require of us in the First Commandment? An example of this in the Bible is Genesis 22, when Abraham loved God more than his son. Another example is in Genesis 39, when Joseph resisted the temptation of Potiphar's wife. And we all rely on God to make us and give us eternal life in heaven. Let His one and only Son, Jesus, die for us on the cross. In Proverbs 3:5 says that trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. The proof of this verse is that we should do all these things, but we don't. So God sends Jesus to pay for our sin and forgive us.
Good job, Trevor. Our second essay tonight is Noah Bauman. Noah, could you sit even farther back? No, you're in the last row.
I didn't read my verse for Luke 10, verse 30 to 34. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he walked into the hands of robbers. When the robbers were done, the man had no clothes and was beaten. Being left half dead, a priest and a Levite saw the man lying there by the road. They both passed by on the other side. A Samaritan walked by to the man and took pity on him. The Samaritan bandaged and poured wine and oil on the man, putting him on his donkey and taking care of him at the inn. These verses mean many things to me. I chose this verse because the Samaritans didn't have to help the man. The Samaritan could have kept on walking on the other side of the street. He helped the half-dead man. He used his own money for the expenses. The Samaritan stayed and cared for the guy, and the next day he told the innkeeper to care for the man and said that when he gets back, he'll pay for all the nights and days and nights, all the food and drinks that the man had while staying there. The Samaritan is helpful, generous, and strong-hearted. The priest and the Levite broke the eighth commandment by betraying and not defending him when he is in need. They should love their neighbors as they love themselves. They are not the men that most people look up to. While a Samaritan, a man who is usually not cared for, they are usually not liked, and a man who is looked up to like how a priest and a Levite are looked up to. They are not even a Christian like the priest was. The Samaritan spent a lot of money from his pocket to save that man. God loves the man who follows by his laws and who tries to go by his example. Christian or not, he was not Christian, but he loved and cared for his neighbors. The priest and the Levite taught his word, but didn't follow his laws very well. God then told the man who he was telling the story, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The man then replied, "The one who had mercy on him." God then told him to go and do likewise. Jesus is like the Good Samaritan. He comes to us when we are beaten up by sin and left for dead. He pays for our healing by dying on the cross. He promises to take care of us by giving us his word and holy sacraments. Not all the people that I think are good are actually cool. Once I get to know them a little bit more, I see a side I never want to see again. When I was in second grade, there was a kid always in trouble. I finally saw the stuff he did in the class when he was getting in trouble. He was not the reason. That was the kid next to him that he was taking the blame for. The kid next to him was a great friend of mine. I soon got to talking with him, and we were no longer friends. The kid that always got in trouble is one of my best friends now. Because of what Jesus has done, we can be like the Good Samaritan to others. Helping people in many situations like school and sports, helping friends with math and social studies, helping your friends with school will not only help them now, but also in the future. They'll feel more confident for future tests, exams that are coming up. Helping them now gets them a higher GPA, then colleges will be more interested in them. Then showing teammates proper technique for swinging the bat so they can hit the ball farther than 5 feet or not hit a grounder. Fixing their technique of their pitching so they don't throw out their arm and have a chance of surgery. They will have a better chance at high school baseball or even college if they're good enough, or even maybe the pros. During the summer, it was nice out, but my parents were cleaning. I could have snuck out the back and went to play at a friend's house. Most of the time, I would stay back and clean with my parents so they can get done quicker, and I don't have to be caught in being yelled at. So then I can go outside when I'm done and not worry about having to go back inside and clean. When the house is clean, I can go outside and shoot hoops with my dad. My mom and brother then can go outside and hang out. I will be happier, and so will they. We won't always be the kind of Good Samaritan God wants us to be. Jesus covers up our sin and gives us the strength and will to do better. This verse means many things to me. There are just some of the greatest meanings that this verse shows me. The Samaritan helped the man, and some good deed may not always have a reward, but usually after a lot of hard work, helping, being nice, and doing something that rather than nothing, something good will come out of it. He could have been a follower and did what the priest and Levite did, but he made a difference.
We have now heard 6 out of 8 of our confirmation essays. Please keep our junior confirmads in your prayers as they continue to make the good confession. Our service continues now with our office hymn. This hymn is based on our epistle reading, which will be our sermon text for tonight as well. Hymn 431, "Not All the Blood of Beasts."
Thank you.
reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual together.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 1st chapter. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this may be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon
Lenten Responsory, page 231. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God. For you are the God of my salvation.
Peace, love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the epistle reading from Hebrews 10, especially these words. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In the Garden of Eden, God spoke words to Adam and Eve after they had eaten the forbidden fruit. Words of condemnation for Satan, but to Adam and Eve, words of promise, words of hope, words of life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, God says to Satan, condemning him and giving us a promise. And you will bruise his heel. And he will strike your head. My friends, God promises that the seed of a woman would crush the serpent's head once and for all. But when? When would it happen? Adam and Eve believed the promises of God. They passed those promises on to their children and grandchildren and on and on. When Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel, she was sure, this is the one, the seed of the woman. She understood the promise, but her timing was off. Off by many centuries. So that God could give this promise as a visible, tangible picture to the people of God, He established a very, very specific and intricate sacrificial system. The book of Hebrews is clear. There's life in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so, blood was shed. Pigeons, doves, bulls, goats, sheep. But it was never done. It was never finished. Yes, these Old Testament sacrifices forgave the sins of the people, but it was never complete. Why? For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The blood of bulls and goats only took away sins as it looked forward to something bigger, something better, something permanent, something once and for all. My friends, these Old Testament sacrifices, these sacrifices of bulls and goats on the altar of God looked forward to a time when the seed of the woman would be born and would crush Satan's head once and for all. What kind of a woman? When would it happen? Through the prophet Isaiah, God gives us more details and specifics. It wouldn't just be any woman, but it would be a virgin. Behold, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And his name shall be Emmanuel, which means God with us. How can this be? God born of a woman? God born of a virgin? God in the flesh? This is impossible. We heard the words from the angel. With God, nothing is impossible. When the time was right, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son to be born of a woman, the Virgin Mary. We heard in our Gospel reading the miraculous way that this conception took place. A miraculous, immaculate conception, because our Savior would have to be without sin. God speaks a powerful word through Gabriel into the ear of Mary. This powerful word comes, and the Savior of the world is conceived in the womb of Mary. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Impossible! With God, nothing is impossible. My friends, we can dwell on the mystery of the incarnation. We can contemplate the divine mysteries of the two natures of Christ, true God and true man, all at the same time. But those contemplations and meditations would be empty unless we see why our Savior took on flesh and blood. Why Jesus became incarnate. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. All of these things were temporary. All of these things were a picture of something that was to come. And John the Baptist gives us a glimpse when he points out Jesus on the banks of the Jordan River and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was not speaking metaphorically. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In God's divine plan, He sends His Son, God begotten of the Father from all eternity, King of kings and Lord of lords, in flesh and blood. Why? Ask any one of the eighth graders. They can tell you our Savior had to be a human being so He could die in our place. My friends, if there is one phrase from the book of Hebrews that you should etch into your memory and into your heart, it is this phrase right here. Once for all. Unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the sacrifice of Jesus is a one-time thing. Remember what Jesus said? It is finished. If we try to re-sacrifice Jesus for our most recent sins, whether that be by some sacrifice on the altar or by some sacrifice of our good works, we are shaming the work of Jesus. He died once for you. And not only did Jesus die once, but He died for all. Throughout the days of the Christian church, people have tried to explain away this phrase, and it cannot be explained away. For all what? People ask. Are you ready for this? For all people, for all time, for all sin. All means all. He did not just die for a few. He died for all people. He did not just die for some sins. He died for all sins. He did not just die for the people who had lived before Him, but for all people before, during, and after. All people, all sin, all time. Do you realize what that means? For all people means He died for you. For all sin means He died for your sin. All of it. The little ones, the big ones, the secret ones, the shameful ones. All sin. And for all time means your sins past, present and future. My friends, today we celebrate. Right now, in the middle of our Lenten fast, we celebrate. God's love is manifest in the body, the real body of Jesus that had real flesh and blood. The body of Jesus that really suffered on your behalf. The body of Jesus that carried all of your sins into Himself and onto Himself, all the way to an old rugged cross. The body of Jesus that really died. And the body of Jesus that rose from the dead, never to die again. My friends, Jesus, the once and for all sacrifice for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. Please stand.
Prayer rise before you as incense.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, God's Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. This time also we worship God with our gifts and our offerings.
In addition to the litany, we also pray for Nikki Bertram, cousin of Michael Adams, hospitalized, and prayer for Clee Walski, friend of Maureen Marshall, who was found to have a large mass in his brain. We continue with the litany, page 288, we stand. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child, and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all young children and sick persons, including Clee and Nikki, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in holy baptism you began your good work in our confirmands, and you have blessed their instruction and training in your word. We implore you to pour out your Holy Spirit on their hearts and minds so that they will be enabled to truly love and revere you, confess the faith with joy and boldness, endeavor to live according to your commandments, and praise and glorify you as their faithful God and Lord, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, as we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of the angel to the Virgin Mary, so by the message of his cross and passion, bring us to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 438.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. A lot of activities going on. Very, very busy week this Holy Week. Tomorrow we enter into the most holy of days during Holy Week, called the 3 days or the Triduum. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Saturday. Tomorrow we'll worship twice, 12:15 and 6:30. Both services will be the same. On Friday, we'll worship twice. The 12:15 Treor service, where we focus on the seven times Jesus spoke from the cross. And then Friday evening at 7:30, an hour later than usual, 7:30, so that we end in darkness the traditional Good Friday service of darkness, the Tenebrae service. On Easter Saturday, we will celebrate the Easter Vigil, a unique four-part service that traces the history of Israel and bridges the gap from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. And then, and that's at 6:30 Saturday evening. And then Sunday morning, our sunrise service at 6 a.m. That'll be a standalone, separate service broadcast live on AM 1240 KFOR. Easter breakfast afterwards. And then our two divine services will be at 8:30 and 10:30. Note the change. If you come for the 8 o'clock service, you'll have to eat a donut or something, or a piece of egg casserole. 8:30 and 10:30. No Sunday school or adult Bible study this coming Sunday. The pastors are taking turns sitting for private confession and absolution. That's back in the prayer chapel. We'll be here roughly an hour before service starts on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Saturday. Anything else? No Lifelight Bible study tomorrow because of our afternoon worship service. Bible study tonight. Bible study tonight on the penitential psalms in the fellowship hall. I think that's all. Singing? Oh, yeah. Violet, beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks be to God. Have a great day and a very blessed Holy Week.